Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a terrific Sunday. My name is Dr. Jason Uchida. I'm a doctor of naturopathic medicine and your host of this program on alternative medicine. Welcome, one and all, to the June 22nd, 2003 edition of Wellness in the New Millennium. Thank you for joining me, and God bless you all. I'm glad you tuned in tonight, because tonight's program is going to be great. Tonight we'll hear what one courageous little boy and his family is doing to overcome being labeled with a mental developmental tag. And that tag is called autism. Tonight, Mike shares his son's story of overcoming this autistic label by changing his and his family's diet. But before we start tonight's program, let me tell you about the upcoming topics for the next few weeks. Next week on June 29th, Dr. Alex Concepcion returns to share more about how chiropractic can help with those nagging muscle and joint pains, as well as other everyday health concerns. Then 2 weeks from tonight, on July 6th, is a program you don't want to miss also. My patient Karen will share her amazing story of overcoming a horrendous case of raging total body eczema. Karen slowly shuffled herself into my office and looked as if she had just walked out of a building that was engulfed in flames. She looked like as if she was totally covered with second and third degree burns from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Her skin was beet red, open, raw, and weeping of serum. You could actually smell her before she came into the room. Her skin and muscle tissue were so inflamed that her calves, ankles, feet, and toes were swollen to about the size of her thighs. She was in so much pain that she could barely get up from a sitting position, much less walk. Join us on July 6th to hear Karen's story of how, of what she did to cure herself from this painful, ugly, and depressing illness. Then 3 weeks from tonight, on July 13th, the leading authority on essential fatty acids and the author of the best-selling book, Fats That Heal, Fats That Kill, Dr. Udo Erasmus returns to discuss which essential fats are vital for optimum health. If you want to know why and how omega-3, 6, and 9 fatty acids are essential, and the correct amounts of omega-3, 9, and 6 fatty acids to take, join Dr. Erasmus for a discussion on the right fat diet on July 13th. Then on July 20th, Dr. Kathy Rink Carlson joins us from Seattle, Washington, to discuss what you can do to prevent and treat osteoporosis naturally. Tune in to learn which diets and exercises are best for building bone density and why an unhealthy digestive tract may result in poor digestion and absorption of calcium and lead to developing osteoporosis. And, of course, which form of calcium supplements is best absorbed by the human body. July 20th, join Dr. Rink Carlson for a discussion on preventing and treating osteoporosis naturally. Again, next week, join Dr. Alex Concepcion for more on how chiropractic can help you for those nagging muscle and joint pains. Then I'll be back here live on July 6th with my patient Karen, and we'll discuss how she overcame a horrendous case of eczema that covered her entire body. Wellness in the New Millennium is brought to you by the leaders in the health, wellness, and alternative medicine industry. Nutrix Hawaii produces a bioastin, the natural astaxanthin, and organic spirulina pacifica in powder, crystal flakes, and tablets since 1983. The Flora Supplement Company produces of liquid phytocaps and the quality nutritional supplements for a healthy digestive tract, bone health, and detoxification. The Pan American MOA Foundation, promoting true health through art and beauty, nature farming, and jorei, the medical art from Japan. The Good Health Food Store, more than just a health store. Enzymatic Therapy, producing innovative quality supplements for your healthcare needs. Dr. Alex Concepcion and the Back to Health Center, serving Hawaii one spine at a time. And the Island Wellness Center, the chronic illness specialists. Please stay with us, and we'll talk more about how natural medicine can help with autism after we take this very important sponsorship break with our friends from the Pan American MOA Foundation, Enzymatic Therapy, and the Flora Supplement Company. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. You're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, our topic is about the story of a courageous little boy and how he overcame being labeled with a developmental disorder, autism. However, before I introduce Mike and hear his son's story, I want to give you a little background on the definition of autism. Autism is a complex developmental disability that typically appears during the first 3 years of life. Autism is the result of a neurological disorder that affects the functioning of the brain. Autism impairs normal development of the brain in areas of social interaction and communication skills. Children and adults with autism typically have difficulties in verbal and nonverbal communication, social interaction, and leisure or play activities. Autism is one of five disorders under the umbrella of pervasive developmental disorders, or PDD, a category of neurological disorders characterized by severe and pervasive impairment in several areas of development, including social interaction and communication skills. Each of the five PDD disorders have specific diagnostic criteria. Currently, there are about 2 million Americans affected by autism, with numbers escalating by 15% each year. At this rate of growth, autism will affect close to 5 million Americans within 6 years. Autism is 4 times more common in boys and knows no racial, ethnic, or social boundaries, and family income, lifestyle, and educational level do not affect the chance of autism's occurrence. Autism is a spectrum disorder where the symptoms and characteristics of autism can present themselves in a wide variety of combinations and form, mild to severe. People with autism can exhibit any combination of behaviors in any degree of severity. There is no known single cause for autism. There are no medical tests for diagnosing autism. The diagnosis is based on observation of the individual's communication, behavior, and developmental levels. People with autism process and respond to information in unique ways. In some cases, they can be aggressive and violent, or they can inflict pain and injury to themselves. Persons with autism may also exhibit some of the following traits. They may insist on sameness or routines and can be extremely resistant to change. They have great difficulty in expressing needs. They may use gestures or point instead of using words to communicate. They may repeat words or phrases excessively. So I want you to understand that when they're talking about extreme and excessive, they're talking about extreme and excessive. You know, the repeating the words would be every minute or 2 minutes, or phrases, or causing self-injury. They would be pounding their head against walls and things, or doors. People with autism, or children with autism, may have odd laughing or crying fits and may show extreme distress that is not apparent to anyone else. Autistic children prefer to be alone. They are aloof and may constantly throw tantrums. I had another parent on the air with me about 3 months ago, and Corey was throwing tantrums something like 13 to 15 times every day at school. And that's what they mean by throwing tantrums. You know, I mean, most kids, maybe they throw one every few weeks at school, but if you're autistic and it's severe, you could be throwing as many as 15 every day. Autistic kids have great difficulty in mixing with others. They may not want to be cuddled. They want little or no eye contact and are unresponsive to normal teaching methods. They tend to have sustained odd play or behavior. They may love to spin around in circles or spin objects. Autistic children tend to have inappropriate attachments to objects and are or may show oversensitivity or undersensitivity to pain, may not have real fears of danger. Autistic children may be severely hyperactive or severely underactive, such as, you know, they're just exhausted all the time. They may have uneven, gross, and fine motor skills, and they may not be responsive to verbal cues. They may even act deaf, although their hearing tests are normal. Autistic children are delayed or have total absence of the spoken language, and usually have great difficulty in sustaining any type of conversation. They may be unable to understand simple questions or directions. Individuals with autism may display a markedly restricted range of interests and are often preoccupied with one narrow interest, such as dates, phone numbers, radio station call letters. That may bring to mind that movie called Rain Man with Dustin Hoffman. They may have stereotyped body movements involving the hands, like clapping or finger flicking, or whole body movements such as rocking, dipping, or swaying. So a lot of people understand autism as a child who sits in the corner and doesn't look at into anyone's eyes, and they're always rocking themselves. And they may have abnormalities in posture, such as they may walk on their tiptoe, have odd hand movements and body postures. And in most cases, there is an associated diagnosis of mental retardation, which can range from mild to profound. The medical treatment for autism are medications that treat specific symptoms, therapeutic aids, and mainly one-on-one teaching programs. So the treatment that conventional medicine has for autism is really nothing. All they can do is try to teach these kids to find a way to integrate themselves into our society. At this time, I'd like to welcome Mike onto the program. Mike, thank you for joining us and sharing Elliot's story of overcoming his cognitive and social developmental problems with us tonight.
Thank you.
Mike, what other symptoms did Elliot have along with the autism?
Well, I guess my son, he had asthma, he was hyperactive, night sweats, bloating, flatulence, and yes, you mentioned tantrums daily. Yeah, he had those severe mood swings. He was anxious and nervous whenever we went to different things.
Mm.
And speech delay.
Okay.
Along with all the other things you mentioned earlier.
So when we're talking about hyperactive, you know, some people think, oh, that kid was just, you know, just has energy. But tell us about Elliot's hyperactivity.
Well, I remember when I first brought him into your office, he was just all over the place. He could not sit in a chair. He was just running around. He wanted out of your office, out of that little room. Very hard to control, and attracted to very odd objects and things like that. And
yeah,
nothing seemed to work to calm him down.
Keep his attention.
It took one of us to take care of him, and the other one to talk to you.
Yeah.
Basically, it was that tough.
It was good teamwork. And Elliot was like everywhere. He was everywhere in a matter of seconds. Mm. I mean, he was into everything.
Yep. Jump.
Severely hyperactive.
Yeah.
I mean, drive people nuts. I don't know how you and your wife did it. I mean, you guys have to be saints. I mean, because he was like, severely hyperactive. I mean, talk about being 200 miles per hour. That was Elliot.
Yeah, that was him. But yeah, it was challenging.
Would you tell us about his tantrums? Because most kids with autism, I mean, you know, kids have tantrums, but typically they'll have one a week, one every few weeks. Tell us about Elliot's tantrums. How often and how severe were they?
Well, his tantrums, I guess we could get them, depending upon what we're doing, once every hour.
Once every hour?
Once in a day. You know, it depends. Sometimes we would disrupt what he's doing and he'd just throw a fit. And it could be something simple, just lining things up, and we happen to knock something down, he'd just go crazy. When he couldn't find anything to satisfy his crave of, he would jump from toy to toy to toy. You know, every minute was like from one toy to another toy, and when he runs out of toys, you're in trouble.
So your house must have looked like a toy factory.
It still does.
So he threw a tantrum, but how severe was the? What were those tantrums? How long did he stay in them? You know,
he could scream, kick, he'll throw things across the room. We would, I don't know, we tried dragging him into another room just to kind of keep him away, you know, keep him calm or safe. And it was hard. It would last anywhere from 15, 20 minutes at a time.
Yeah, every hour, too.
Every hour.
Yeah.
So it was difficult.
Yeah, and that's why I think parents with autistic kids, they have to be saints to be able to have the patience to work with them. Yeah. Any other symptoms that stick in your mind that, or other conditions that stick in your mind that Elliot had along with autism?
Well, mainly asthma.
Okay. And we're going to talk about the asthma a little bit later. When did Elliot's developmental problems become noticeable to you and your wife?
Well, I guess you could say we suspected something as young as about half a year old. You know, he was a rather fussy baby, and we lived near a park at that time, and my wife would have to take him on a stroller ride at least twice a day just to calm him down.
Mm.
And then he just didn't seem to need much sleep. And he always sweated a lot when he slept, or even in the daytime, would be constantly changing him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, always perspiring.
Yeah, always perspiring.
Yeah, that was one of the things that you had mentioned to me when you first brought Elliot in.
Yeah.
So about 6 months. I mean, 6 months.
We suspected. But again, you know, that was our only child at that time, so it was hard for us to really say or start doing something. It was just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then, of course, as he started to get older, we noticed even more things were happening.
Could you mention those? Because that was going to be my next question. What other general characteristic behaviors did Elliot have, and how were they disruptive?
Well, I guess as soon as he could walk, he could run. I mean, the guy could run. And he just loved running up and down wheelchair ramps, the long ones, the long wheelchair ramps. And no fear whatsoever of falling down. Well, which is bad, but the only thing that was good is that he had strong legs, so he wouldn't fall down. But you know, my friends and my relatives would look at that and go, "He's crazy."
But they have no fear.
Yeah, they just don't have no fear. They just run, and they wouldn't stick. He wouldn't stick with us for anything. It'd be, why can't you just say goodbye to him? Won't he come back to you? No, he just keeps running. I have to go get him.
Yeah, so you have to go track him down.
Yeah. And,
any other characteristic behaviors that come to mind for you?
Well, as he got older, you know, he started attaching to objects. He always would have to have a shark with him, or a stick, or something.
Mm.
And then he would start swinging it when he has a tantrum. So that didn't make it very good.
Yeah.
And then he would, if you ever saw a ceiling fan in a room, he would spin with it, physically. It's like, oh, goodness.
Yeah.
And then, of course, any spinning object would attract him.
Mm.
Wheel of Fortune was his favorite program.
So the traits that I mentioned really brought to mind a little bit about what Elliot was about.
Oh yeah, 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 certainly, certainly.
Okay. So the medical textbooks that I got this information out of, they know what they're talking about.
Oh yeah,
talk about autistic traits. Okay. Any other characteristic behaviors that come to mind that Elliot had before?
Not offhand.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I'll remember some as we get on with the show.
Okay. So, why? Would you tell us? Elliot has a medical history of taking a lot of antibiotics and using a lot of steroids. Would you tell us why Elliot needed the heavy dosages of antibiotics and steroids when he was young, and about what age did he receive all of these medications?
Well, I guess when Elliot was born, he had a hernia, so he had to go through a couple hernia operations when he was only about a year and a half, year and a quarter. And that, somehow after that second operation, that's when it all started. I mean, he would start with one ear infection, then month and a half, 2 months later, he'd get another, and then another, and then another. And then almost to a point where we're taking him to emergency every 3 weeks for ear infections.
Mm.
And the only thing that the doctors could prescribe us at that time was antibiotics.
And
the antibiotics would only work for the fever and the ear infection, and the steroids was for the cold and the wheezing of his asthma.
Okay.
I mean, just
when did... how bad was Elliot's asthma, and when did it start?
Well, it started, I would say, after catching the third or fourth ear infection, we noticed that he started wheezing.
Mm.
And then the doctor said that if he ever starts wheezing again, that means you should start treating him for asthma.
For asthma.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and the reason why I mention past medical history, because for me it means a lot. Because when I see heavy use of antibiotics and steroids, and then the symptomology starts to come on, that's when I start to think of a systemic candida infection. Because when you take heavy dosages of antibiotics and steroids, it leads to developing a systemic candida infection. It's not because Dr. Uchida says so, it's because the medical books and the medical textbooks say so. And that's why I treat individuals for that. But Mike, why did you choose natural medicine to help Elliot overcome his autism?
Well, we know that, you know, natural medicine has very little side effects. Whereas, you know, we've looked at the medicine that doctors usually use to treat their patients, and it has a lot of side effects, and it's not very pleasant. So we're hoping if we go the natural way first, at least we've tried everything we could.
Before using the powerful medications with surgeries and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. During your first visit with me and after going over Elliot's past medical history and symptoms, what did I tell you was causing his cognitive and behavioral disorders, and what did you think of the diagnosis?
Well, you told us it was all that candida in his system, and we believed you. I mean, we looked into antibiotics and steroids and how bad it was, and we knew that we had to work on his digestive system, so it wasn't a shock to us.
But. Okay. Your visit to me wasn't your first try at natural medicines and naturopathic medicine. You tried other things to help Elliot with his autism before. Would you mention a few things of what you did?
Oh, that's quite a bit. But we've tried all types of different supplements. DMG, colostrum, and just to name a couple. And we noticed that his back was slightly out of alignment, so we went to a chiropractor. That helped quite a bit too. And then we noticed too that his head was sort of odd shaped. So, but the medical doctor just looked at it and told us this odd shape, but he didn't know what to do with it. So we went to see a cranial sacral therapist to help us do with that, and that seemed to work pretty well. But this candida diet is amazing. I mean, nothing has ever worked as well as what you've suggested, what you've done to it for.
Okay. And I talked to you before you brought Elliot in to see me, and you had mentioned to me that you had already started a dietary program. Would you mention that to the listening audience?
Well, I guess the first thing we did, which you try to do with any hyperactive kid, is keep them off the sugars, which is candy, sweets, soda. That didn't seem to do a whole lot because we never started him on it, so it didn't matter too much.
Okay.
But
meaning you never gave him much candy and soda to begin with anyway.
Right. And then we looked into the castain and gluten-free diets, which is wheat and milk-free diets, and we noticed some change, but not as much.
Okay. So then you wanted to take it even further.
Yeah, and see what you had to offer.
Okay. What type of treatment did I recommend for Elliot?
It was the candida diet.
Okay. Would you explain a little bit about what that is for the listening audience, according to what you perceive the candida diet as?
Well, it seems to be basically going back to nature, very basic natural foods. You told us no fruits and no natural sugars either, so that meant no fruits, no what other things have natural sugars?
I guess like dried fruits,
but fruits.
No cakes, cookies, pies, pastries, ice cream, candy, chocolates,
and
noodles.
Noodles and even all the carbohydrates we have to stay away from, like rice and bread and
white rice, and all breads, juice and soda, let's see, alcohol. It wasn't drinking yet.
No, not yet. But it was a pretty tough diet. I mean, I looked at that, I went, wow.
Yeah. But then there were other things that made it even harder, right? The other foods that we took Elliot off of, like tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. He loved fruits. I mean, fruits and tomatoes, corn on the cob. Those are some of his most favorite vegetables and fruits. And,
right. Other foods that we removed from Elliot's diet was wheat, which is basically pasta, noodles, and bread.
Right.
Corn, soy, which includes tofu.
Yeah, tofu. Yeah, my wife loves feeding him tofu. He loves tofu.
Let's see. Tomatoes, eggplants, bell peppers, potatoes, mushrooms, peanuts, cashews, pistachios, macadamia nuts, vinegar, coffee, and alcohol, which I don't think Elliot had any problems with those two.
Yeah.
But initially, how did Elliot react to those dietary changes? I mean, no one's going to like their diet change, much less a four-year-old at that time.
Well, it was difficult. I mean, he at that time when we started, he was 5 years old, and he knows what we're eating, and he knows what he wants at that time. And so it's always we have to redirect him. It's always he wants this, and we always say, well, how's about papaya instead? He didn't quite like papaya at that time, but he did get a liking to it very quickly.
Yeah, poor guy. Yeah. It's his only sweet papaya. How did you and your wife manage to keep him on this diet? Because he was attending school at that time.
It was over the summer.
Okay.
Yeah,
you started.
Yeah, that we started.
But then we went into the year, though.
Right. But by that time, the regular year, he was pretty much okay. I mean, we had him. He was satisfied with whatever we fed him. Luckily, one of his most favorite foods are broccoli and cauliflower.
Ah.
So we could still feed him a lot of that. So he was still pretty happy about that.
Okay. So a lot of parents out there may be wondering, man, what can I feed my child if I'm going to be on that, or if that my child's going to be on that diet? What did you typically prepare for Elliot for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Oh, okay. We need Mrs.
Yeah, it's my wife that did most of the cooking. Okay. Unfortunately, I.
What was being served at dinner? You probably know more about dinner than
I know.
Breakfast
brown lunch. Rice was basically our main rice or carbohydrate at that time, and we would stick to either fish or some of the antibiotic meat and things like that.
Okay. I have a list from the chart notes I can read for you. This was about 2 weeks after Elliot started the treatment. He was eating papaya for breakfast, papaya, cauliflower, brown rice with seaweed. For snacks, he was eating taro chips because that's okay. For lunch, he was eating brown rice with seaweed, turkey, hot dogs, broccoli and cauliflower and carrots. For snacks after lunch, he was eating brown rice cakes with almond butter, and almond butter is okay, peanut butter no. For dinner, he was eating turkey, shrimp, lamb, fish, crab with brown rice, broccoli, cauliflower, spinach with onions, and stir-fried vegetables, and basically just water. Was Elliot drinking water only before?
No, he was drinking juice, and he always craved for that juice.
Yeah. How was it for him to go on this diet and not drink juice?
It was difficult at first, but we kept redirecting him and going through the tantrums and fighting and just kept working at it and working at it. And finally, he could calm down and he'd eat whatever we gave him and went along with the diet. And luckily, yeah, we didn't start feeding him cauliflower until you told us to. And once we did, then he decided that was a good fruit or good vegetable to eat. And he liked brown rice, so that was good. So there are some things that he did like and some things that he always wanted but never got. So.
Yeah. How did you guys handle that when he wanted foods that wasn't allowed on this diet?
Again, it's just redirect him, say, well, how's about papaya? How's about cauliflower? You basically had to only give him the choices he could choose from.
Okay.
And
initially, did he throw a tantrum at that time?
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
I mean, it must have been really hard.
It was. Initially. It was difficult. But slowly, slowly, it started toning down. And slowly, we see him starting to improve. And yeah, it worked out pretty
okay.
well.
And that leads us into our next question, Mike. When did you realize that the Candida treatment program was beginning to work? And what kind of improvements did Elliot make?
I would say within 2 or 3 weeks after we started the diet.
2 or 3 weeks after
yeah.
the diet started?
Yeah,
that's pretty quick.
It was pretty quick. We noticed he was a little more focused, a little more calmer. Now, I don't know if it's because of the diet was so sugarless. Just didn't give him any energy.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Certainly it
toned him down on the energy, definitely.
Yeah.
But, okay, go ahead, sorry.
No, but as the months went by, we could see everything starting to improve. His asthma, his hyperactiveness, his night sweats, bloating, his mood swings wouldn't be as long or as much, and he was beginning to become a little bit more manageable within a few months after we started.
Okay, would you give us an example of how he improved with his communication? Let's say in about 2 or 3 months after you started Elliot on the diet and the supplements, and we can talk about the supplements later. What kind of communication improvements did you see? Could you share with the listening audience Elliot's communication level before you started the diet, and then what happened 2 or 3 months after you started the diet?
From what I remember, his main communication was pointing and yelling at things. he didn't start talking until he was about 3 and a half. So,
what kind of talking was that?
It was just words at that time. Just
one, like, two words at a time.
Yeah, it's just like a year and a half year old trying to just learning how to say a few words. A 1 year old trying to say a few words. Mm-hmm. He didn't start doing that till 3 and a half, and so it was difficult. You know, he would be yelling, screaming at you, and pointing, and just literally dragging you to whatever he wanted.
Right.
But slowly, after 2 or 3 months, you know, we could see him beginning to try and form the words a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. It was form sentences.
Not quite at that time, mm-hmm. but it was beginning to develop. He would say 2 or 3 words at one time, and he would do not as much screaming and not as much pulling and not as much yelling. And we could see all that beginning to kind of come together for him.
Okay, and the tantrums before he started the Candida diet was about 1 an hour.
Yeah.
What happened at about 2 or 3 months?
Well, it was still about 1 an hour, but the durations weren't as long. It wouldn't last for 15 to 20 minutes. It would be only about 10 or 15 minutes, or we could cut one tantrum out somehow. We could curtail it somehow.
Okay. And what happened with the asthma?
Well, as the months went by, I mean, what would happen was that the asthma would develop either in one of three things. It's fever, running nose, or coughing. And within 8 hours, he'd be fighting all three symptoms just unbelievably within 8 hours.
How often did the asthma occur before you started the Candida diet?
Well, at one point, when he was about 2 and a half, it was almost every 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then as we kept giving him antibiotics and trying to keep it under control, it was down to about maybe once every other month or so.
Okay.
But still, it would knock him out for about a week. We still have to give him the steroids and the antibiotics and everything.
How many asthma attacks has Eric had in the last about year now? Yeah.
Maybe about 3 or 4.
3 or 4 now. So it's every 3 months.
No. Actually, it's been 3 or 4 since we started the diet. I think maybe within the last 6 months, I don't think he's had an asthma
attack. In the last 6 months.
Right.
Zero.
Yeah, I think so. Because the first few months, he would get one almost every other month, even though he was on the diet. But nowadays, when he does get a symptom, it's only one symptom. It's only a fever or a running nose or a cough. It never dominoes. It never escalates
into the asthma.
Yeah, into the asthma. So we can control one symptom, cut it, and then that's it.
Okay. Another unusual symptom that Eric had, I shouldn't say unusual in the sense that he's so young and had this symptom, was that he had really severe night sweats.
Yeah, he would sweat profusely.
Yeah.
It would change him 4 or 5 times a night.
A night.
Just to...
What happened with the night sweats after 2 or 3 months, you recall?
It slowly started slowing down. We noticed that we wouldn't have to change him as much.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, nowadays we hardly change him at all.
So nowadays, the last several months, he doesn't have the night sweats.
I think it's normal for, you know, I mean, for what he's going through now,
yeah.
It's a normal night sweat.
Okay. Before you mentioned he was really nervous and anxious about new situations. How did that progress after about 2 or 3 months?
Well, slowly he would be, you know, he'd always throw a tantrum in big crowds. He'd go crazy when we came to new situations, and slowly we noticed that he could start handling the crowds, handling the different situations. I mean, I was looking back at some notes about a year ago, and I wrote down that, gee, last year at the farm fair, we had to literally carry him out of the farm fair. He was just totally out of control, overwhelmed. Just, we couldn't, he only ride a couple rides, just totally out of it. And this year, we just went to the 50th State Fair.
Yeah.
We took him there 4 times this year.
Because he wanted to ride the rides.
He wanted to ride the rides. He could stand in line by himself, get on the ride by himself, get off by himself.
So he wasn't freaking out in
any
one of those rides and with all the stimulation.
In fact, he was just like another child.
Uh-huh.
We wouldn't be able to tell him from another child. He was just that well. And things have really, really improved over 1 year.
Stay with me, Mike. We're going to have to go to commercial break, then we'll come by back and finish up. You're tuned in to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. Tonight we're discussing what one courageous little boy and his family did to help himself overcome autism. Stay with us to hear more about Elliot's recovery from autism after we take a very important sponsorship break with our friends from Nutrex Hawaii, Dr. Alex Concepcion and the Back to Health Center, and the Good Health Food Store. Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida, and you're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, we're discussing what one courageous little boy and his family did to help him overcome autism with just a simple dietary change. Joining us tonight is to tell Elliot's story is Elliot's father, Mike. Mike, would you share with us the social, behavioral, and emotional and developmental changes that have happened for Elliot in the past year? So how is he doing the last month or two?
Oh, he's been doing fantastic. I mean, it's compared to how he was a year ago, we just can't imagine how well he's doing now. It's just amazing. You know, even at the carnival, we can tell him to hold the door open for the kids behind him, because we noticed he used to slam it, you know, run out of the ride. Mm-hmm. And once we tell him that, the next ride, he tries to hold the door open for the next child behind him to help them out. So, you know, it's really good to see, you know, really rewarding to see him act, you know, to teach him a behavior and react to it so quickly. Mm. It's just amazing.
Yeah. So it's a lot easier to parent him now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How's his communication skills with you and your wife, as well as other kids or teachers?
He's doing pretty well. I mean, as you described when we first met you, you know, he's going to have to kind of catch up to when he gets over all his autistic traits, he's going to have to catch up in his aging. And yeah, so he's beginning to catch up. Mm-hmm. That's what we're seeing happening. He's kind of still lacks in the expressive communications and doesn't quite know how to act in all social behaviors for a child of his age. But we see it really coming along and developing now.
Mm-hmm. Elliot is how old now?
He's 6.5.
6.5. And when about a year ago, what do you think his age would have been with development and communication skills?
Oh, it was down in about the two-year-old level.
And Mike was mentioning is that kids can't go from the two-year-old level to 6.5-year-old level. They can't skip that developmental phases. So what we're going to see happen for Elliot is going to speed through the 2.5-year, 3-year, 3.5-year, 4-year, 4.5-year, 5-year, 5.5-year, 6-year developmental stages. He won't need to take, you know, 6 months for each half a year of growth. He's probably just going to speed through them and catch up with, maybe catch up by about 8 or 9 years old, my hope is. At what age level would you think he is right now?
I think he's probably about the 3-year-old level.
Three and a half.
2.5 to 3-year-old level.
Mm. How is he communicating with other kids right now?
Oh, he's doing pretty well. I mean, he's taught kids some of the games that he's played and he's created, which is very, you know, was very inspiring for us to see that. He created a game. He actually taught another kid the same game, and I was pretty surprised.
Mm-hmm. Is he just using 1 or 2 word sentences now?
No, he can say full sentences, explain things pretty well, and talk.
Can he understand direction?
Oh, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, we did do the carnival behavior modification, and
right,
he picked it up right away.
And how about his communication to you and your wife before he used to point and drag and scream?
Yeah.
Is he able to communicate his needs verbally now?
Yeah, he can. He can explain what he wants, and if we don't understand, he'll go and show us what he wants, and he asks for things a lot nicer now. Almost like a normal child.
How many tantrums is he throwing today?
Oh, none.
None?
None.
No tantrums at all?
He hardly throws tantrums anymore.
Really?
Hardly. It's so rare that he does nowadays.
Really?
Yeah, I don't...
Most normal kids would be throwing tantrums once every week or so.
No, I don't even think that often.
Wow, very good. Let's see. You mentioned Elliot's asthma. What about, there was another symptom that he had in the past that I can't remember offhand. How's his hyperactivity?
Oh, it's very good. It's calm. Pretty calm. He's almost like a normal child. He can play by himself. He's a lot more focused now.
Attention is really good now.
Yeah, he's still a little jittery when it comes sitting in chairs for a long time, so he has a hard time sitting in classrooms.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not over the battle yet, so
yeah.
We figure hopefully by next year we'll be over that hump.
Mm-hmm. And you got to remember, Elliot, man, he was like this tornado when he came into the office before. And Mike remembers that first visit very well, because Mike said, "Do you purposely leave everything out so that you can see what hyperactive or autistic kids do?" And I told Mike, "Yeah, that's basically why. I want to see how bad they really are." Because, man, Elliot was everywhere.
Yeah.
And he was throwing stuff.
Yeah.
And poor Mike is throwing everything at Mike.
I know.
And we're talking about 5-pound rock balls, yeah, that I have in my office. He picked that up. He was throwing that everywhere, man. And Mike had to try to catch him.
Or avoid getting hit by him.
Yeah.
One of the two.
Yeah. Mike, would you share Elliot's behavior at his second to the last visit to my office about 6 weeks ago? I thought that was just amazing, because what I remember of Elliot at the beginning was he was super hyperactive, but he never looked at me in the eye, or rarely. Didn't seek eye contact, and he rarely, I don't think he ever did speak directly to me. It was always through you or your wife. What happened at that visit about 6 weeks ago? Do you recall?
I remember he greeted you. He said, "Hi, Dr. Uchida."
Yeah.
And my wife and I and him would sit in the room, and we would start talking like our normal conversation. And all of a sudden, he'd say, "Excuse me, excuse me." And he would look at him and go, "Yes." And he'd be looking at you and start talking and just rattling on. And it made sense what he was talking about, but you know, he just wanted to get into our conversation of talking.
And he just wanted to communicate.
Yeah, he just wanted to get into what we were doing.
Yeah, and that was amazing, because the words just came flowing out of him. I mean, it was difficult to get one word out of him in the before, and all of a sudden he was just wanting to communicate and be part of the conversation with all of us.
Right.
And I just was amazed at that visit. I just knew, wow, Elliot is really, really doing well now. Any other things you recall from that visit of about 6 weeks ago?
Well, yeah, he would sit, you know, quietly, and or he'd act like a boy. Boys tend to be a little jumpy anyway, but
yeah.
It wasn't anything unusual from a regular child.
Yeah.
So we were very happy about that.
And he was able to sit down, too,
and
do some work, some homework-like things.
Yeah, we usually bring some books or some toys for him to play with to just kind of keep him occupied, and he was able to go through that pretty well.
Yeah. How do you feel about the progress that Elliot has made in the past year?
Well, we're really happy. I mean, we couldn't be happier on the progress that he has made. We're just happy.
Mike, because of your family's personal experience, what do you think about naturopathic medicine and now its effects on autism and systemic candida infections?
Well, I think that, you know, autistic children, a lot of them are sensitive to medicine, and the high-functioning ones, like my son, have a keen memory. I mean, our son, he remembers going to the doctor to get hernia operations and dealing with all those ear infections, so he's still scared of doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we finally found a way to help improve our son, and he's not terrified with this. And it's a very good treatment. I can't imagine any medicine doing what it did, you know, to our son. That
helps Elliot.
Right.
Ah, okay. Is there anything you would want to say or share with a family who has a child with autism?
Well, it's a tough battle. I mean, it's not easy to, you know, I guess first you have to realize that that's what you have, a child that is autistic, and then you've got to work with how to, you know, figure out how to help this poor child. But definitely this candida diet is the way to go. You know, I mean, we've tried other things too, but definitely, you know, the candida diet has made the biggest result in such, you know, in the shortest amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, a lot of parents, they look for that special pill or that special magic formula that does it instantly, and it doesn't work that way with autism. It's time consuming.
Yeah. And the treatment isn't easy.
Yeah.
But with the hard work, like you and your wife did with Elliot, you've seen the progress that he's made. And you're happy with that.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
We thank
you. Is it worth it?
Oh, yes, it's definitely worth it. And yeah. We thank you, you know, from the bottom of our hearts.
Oh, you're welcome. More than that. And it's, you know, it's not me. You guys did all the work. All I did was kind of make suggestions about what diet you want to put Elliot on.